You are listening to the No Agenda Stream, where freedom lives and censorship comes to get its ass kicked.
I think Christian is giving me a little friendly reminder to promote the fact that Who Are These Broadcasters will be on a special time this week, right after this program, 2:30 Eastern time, between this and Point Dabble Point on the Who Are These Podcast YouTube channel. We're busy today. YouTube channel.
Well, man, we will try to move it along so everybody could get to Who Are These Broadcasters.
That's right. Wait, hold on a second. You sounded sarcastic when you said that.
I was. Very.
Jesus.
Incredibly.
And the guy's obviously watching the show, man.
Well, thanks for the money, Christian. I appreciate it.
Eric Zane's not going to know you're being a dick, but Christian does.
I'm pretty sure Eric Zane knows I'm being a dick.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm pretty sure Zane knows.
That's a good point.
I love Christian. Thank you, buddy. We're just teasing you. Carl, I believe it is time to...
Welcome to Who Are These Broadcasters, the show in the middle of today's WATP Human Centipede, right between the Creep Off and Point Dabble Point.
Yeah. going down. I'm yelling timber, you better move, you better dance. Let's make a night, you won't remember. I'll be the one, you won't forget.
Hey there, how are you?
Good.
Well, that's good to hear. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. All the pre-show junk is done. You saw my email about next Monday?
Yeah, I saw it. Okay. I'll probably forget.
Okay. all right. And we have Interactive Brokers, the show as well.
Good.
Okay. So, otherwise, that is all the fun. And let's get this on. Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the first podcast of 2026, which takes place on January 6th.
Yeah, so there's a lot of sixes going on here.
Yeah.
And there was something else I want to mention about today. What was the other point here? It was the first podcast. Six, I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me. But there was something pertinent, but maybe not that pertinent. Anyway, we have a winner That's the exciting news for the Close to the Pin Cup for 2025. And I got to tell you, the running was tight. It was, you know, you look at certain things, like if you have a stock that's, let's say, $4, right? Somebody comes in within, you know, 15, 20 cents of the actual, and somebody else comes in maybe 25 cents. That's a tight race. But when you have the Dow Jones that's trading at, let's say, 43, 44, any day now, you know, 50,000, whatever the number is, and you come in within 20 cents, that's pretty good.
It's ridiculous.
So this is pretty interesting.
In fact, everybody got close.
I know.
Well, these are the best of the best.
These are people that are in the internship at Horowitz Company.
you should definitely put them on a team of some sort.
Exactly. We have the
jeez.
Right. We have the DH Unplugged ETF.
Yeah, I think we may be onto something.
What else do we have? Kitchen cabinets. Good news for anybody that's redoing their kitchen or thinking about it. There's some excitement in the kitchen cabinet world. Warren Buffett retiring, kind of, sort of, even though he's going to be going to the office seemingly every day, which is 2 miles away from his house.
Yeah, he's never really retiring.
Can't retire. What is he going to do?
What's the point?
What's he going to
do? Putter?
What is he going to take? Is he going to take up golf at this age? What is he doing?
Yeah, really.
I mean, I'm going to start a hobby. I'm going to start playing pickleball. No, it's not happening. And we have all-time highs in the markets in some of them. The Dow Jones Industrial Average leading the charge this year. It's like everybody is piling into that one. I looked up early this morning, and it was like, I think the Dow Jones was down about 65 points. I was doing something. I came back not too long after. It was up 150 points. And throughout the day, the progression was just a constant buy program that was in buying throughout the day. Hardly a dip up, I don't know, the 450 points today? Yesterday up 600?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And we got some interesting stats on yesterday's move that I think is going to be pretty revealing of why I have been, you would say, grousing, I say complaining about the statistical makeup and how the various indices are constructed. One of the things about the Dow Jones Industrial Average we know is that, you know, companies that have like you remember when Apple had to do a 10-for-1 reverse split or 10-for-1 split, sorry, split.
Yeah, split.
Because if they wanted to get into the Dow Jones Industrial Average, their price was too high. And there's nothing stopping anybody really from having a stock that goes up in value over the years, and all of a sudden that stock becomes so valuable in terms of price weight that their move is the move on that stock totally moves the Dow Jones Industrial Average itself. And we have a couple of examples of that that we're going to talk about. So that's that. Now, the big news of the day, of course, the week, the month. Well, the day is Greenland. The week is Venezuela. Markets seem to love hostile takeovers.
Well, we didn't take over anything.
Well, yet. We're going to run the country, supposedly, and we want to buy Greenland, take it over, or use military force to get there somehow. That's the psychotic item of the day. Are we going to go in?
Greenland's in play.
It's in play. It's in play.
Well, that means we're going to buy it. We're not going to take it over.
Who we buy? We're buying it from the Danes?
Yeah, they have at some point. They're going to make them an offer they can't refuse. What are they going to do with it?
What does Adam think of that coming from that neck of the woods?
Well, I haven't talked to him about that. I mean, we talk about it on the show just as a factoid, but he'd be all for it, of course. He's not a Dane. He came from Holland.
I know, but it's close enough. It's next difference. Door neighbors. They got windmills.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
But we'll talk about that because there's some interesting things going on. Not with Greenland necessarily, because that's news that we have to let unfold for a moment. Let it just breathe like a fine wine. But Venezuela, we'll have to talk about a little bit of some of the things that have gone on there and some of the reflections on similar actions in the past and where that actually ended up. Upgrades all around. The AI trade is once again getting exciting. CES is going on this week, something that you used to attend and know about, report on, and be very actively involved in many, many years ago, weren't you?
Yes.
That was the thing.
It was.
Did you look forward to that like every year? Like I'm.
No, Mimi? I never looked forward to it. It was never a something to look forward to. It was a nightmare.
Why?
Well, it was crowded. It was the prices of everything were up. It was a slog.
You didn't like the parties and the free dinners and the.
The parties were nice. That kind of softened the blow. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of good parties and a lot of bands. You get to see a lot of bands close up. I mean, I can't tell you how many bands I've seen that like close, like right there because these are private concerts. And so you get to see all these cool bands that are famous and you're right there in front of the stage. So that's nice.
I went once way back when. When it wasn't what it is today. And even back then it was cool, but not a tenth of as cool as some of the things they did. Well, maybe not today, but maybe 5 years ago. You know that era where crazy stuff was going on?
Yeah, the crazy stuff era was really the late night during the Clinton administration. That's when things were really hot. The '90s.
I went 1 year, I don't remember what you must have been like 2000. Must have been right at 2000. There was a lot going on, don't get me wrong. But from what I see today with the booths and all they have today, the money spent today is unbelievable. I don't think it compares, do you? The money spent?
I don't know.
Maybe it was in those dollars. But that's going on right now. So we're seeing a lot of people talk and Jensen Huang and of course the CEO of, you know, Name the Company is speaking at on you know how their company is the leader in AI and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
January Effect is going on. We'll talk about that a little bit. Defense and oil-related stocks are booming because of Venezuela and because of now with Greenland. As a matter of fact, I wrote a piece, and I send my piece out privately, either to clients or to other people that are professionals and et cetera. But I don't send it out like on a Substack. But one of the things we talked about was defense buying. As a matter of fact, last week, I believe on this very show, one of the stock picks that we had was, in particular, the Global X Defense Tech ETF. Remember that?
Yep, you picked it right on the. You picked it at the right time.
Yep. So that thesis is solid. I'm gonna step out here, and today we're gonna call BS on the Venezuela economic plans. The idea that we're gonna get all that oil and we're gonna get in there and we're gonna do all this and, you know. It's going to all of a sudden turn around. We already the current regime that was in place under Maduro is taken over again. And we're allowing that, it seems. That's what we want. We think that's better than the opposition that was fairly democratically elected, by the way. Somehow. So, all right, let's get into this. Dr. Copper. You know what that is, right? Dr. Copper?
No, I don't know what Dr. Copper is.
It is not a soft drink. That is Dr. Pepper, or Dr. Brown's, for that matter. One of my favorite drinks. My favorite little known fact: my favorite soft drink, my favorite soda to drink with, let's say, a corned beef sandwich, is a Dr. Brown's Diet Black Cherry.
Well, I've never had that drink, so send me one. Where do you get them? They don't have them out here.
They haven't been at any Jewish deli.
Not out here.
Oh, come on. All right. If I had a pen, I would write this down. Remind me. You're getting a case. You may get a truckload.
Okay, send a truckload.
Now, my father, on the other hand, likes something that I would maybe dare send you as well, just to see your reaction. It's called Celray. It's celery soda.
Another thing I've never tried.
Yeah, that's an acquired taste. I don't really...
It's an interesting idea.
You're intrigued. I got to get to
celery soda.
I got to get to celery. They would call it celery tonic, but it's celery soda. Yeah. Anyway, Dr. Copper. Dr. Copper is, for whatever reason, they call that the smartest of the metals. That's the one that is indicative of what economies are really doing because copper is pretty much in everything. You have a refrigerator, you have a car, you have a house, you have a transistor radio, you have, we pick it out. It's got copper.
I like your reference to a transistor radio.
Yeah, transistor radio.
Yeah.
Don't they make those?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're long gone. Sister radio.
Copper has surpassed $13,000 a ton for the first time due to a renewed rush to the metal and shipping to the U.S. One of the problems is that between all the tariffs and the global issues that are going on, these ongoing threats, copper prices, remember when they shot up that one time when President Trump said, you know, we're putting this 50% tariff on copper from other countries? Remember that whole thing?
Right. Right. To get us to do more copper.
Here. Right. Then it came down and then it went back up. The problem is the copper prices in the U.S. are trading at a premium to those on the London Metal Exchange. So that's a problem.
Not a problem for anyone good at arbitrage.
Right. Well, that's where it comes in. But the analysts are now warning that the rest of the world can run short of copper due to these low inventories in the U.S. It's a big problem. So it's just pushing up prices and pushing up prices.
Oh, yeah, that would jack it up.
Yeah, so there's a huge inventory build due to this uncertainty. So there's a chart over here. You can go to episode number 785 on dhunplugged.com in the show notes. And by the way, while you're there, stop by and just take a little search for this yellow button that says donate. This is how we start the year off on the right note. Some people diet, some people exercise, some people like you donate. That's what you do. You donate. That makes you feel better. That's in your probably, there's probably some resolution out there that says, I should be donating more to podcasts this year.
That's actually a good resolution.
Yeah. So I think if that's it, it's now the time to do it. Because you don't want those resolutions to go unresolved, right? You want to be resolute. So go over to that donate for giving back to all those that we give, all the things that we give. So anyway, there's a chart there. Look at this chart. How do you like that?
Yeah, it's a nice chart.
Since April, when it was, we'll call it, I don't know, 8,500, and that little dip down in April, and then it just started, that's it. What's fascinating about this also is the tariffs went on, the tariffs came off, and there's this game of tariffs going on and off. Meanwhile, prices keep going up. There's hoarding going on. That's why.
Yeah, that always happens.
I wonder if this is a grand plan. Have you ever thought of that?
No, I have not thought of that. Explain.
Is it possible that the idea of creating uncertainty and creating scarcity due to tariffs and higher prices was a plan to actually bring up prices?
So you could speculate and grab some
easy
profits?
So that prices overall on goods, on profitability, because there's profitability built into this, right, on margins, on services, all that becomes a global rush for materials and goods and things like that. And then manufacturing goes up and buying goes up. And economies overheat or heat up.
Yeah, well, maybe.
I think it takes too much genius to and balls, because that can backfire.
Well, it takes more balls than genius.
Yeah. So this is what I'm talking about. This whole idea of, you know, this massive inventory build we're seeing is that due to this uncertainty issue? Is a lot of this being bought before tariffs went on, and we're going to have this pull forward effect after the fact? Or is it going to be a hangover after all this excitement? I mean, you got to look at copper right there. And if you think about how much copper is in a house and the cost of housing due to the increase of copper and, you know, lumber, of course, as well. There's a lot of copper in a house. I mean, how much copper in an average house? So 400 pounds.
That's a lot of copper.
Yeah. There's primarily an electric wiring, about 195 pounds, plumbing, about 150 pounds, plus a smaller round in appliances, fixtures, hardware. Multifamily units hold less than 278, but, you know, that's pretty significant. That's in a house. In a car, there's about 50 pounds. So you think about that, that's a pretty good amount. I mean, yeah. 400 pounds. And you multiply that by the amount of houses out there, of course. So
Yeah, there's a lot of copper out there.
A lot of copper. All right, let's talk about the markets for last year since it is the new year and we have to go back and look at things. The number one market last year around the world was Colombia, up 80%.
Yeah, I found that to be peculiar.
When they devalue things and they have runaway inflation, things like that, and, you know, who knows why? Maybe, I don't know why. Colombia.
Yeah, no, but who knows why, you said.
South Korea, I get that, 76% up. There's all the tech in there. Ghana up 79%. Brazil up 34%. Japan up 26%. Europe up 19%. China's Shanghai was up 18%. The S&P 500 up 17%. The NASDAQ up 21%. Dow Jones up a measly 12%. Meager.
Yeah, by comparison, it's actually a good number.
It's a great number. 12% a year? You could do some real good things with 12% a year.
Yeah, you could be fine with 12% a year.
Exactly. So that's pretty good. Starting off the year already, emerging markets are up about 4% this year already. Dow Jones is leading the charge up probably 2% or so for the year. We're talking about, what, how many trading days is this? This is...
Two?
Yeah, maybe. Two or three? Something like that. Exactly. So one of the reasons that we're continuing to see some of these things happen as well, like copper, like gold, like silver. Hi-ho, silver in a way, he said. Silver dropped down recently, very significantly. I think it had a 10, 12% day and then reversed back and held itself. And that was what we talked about last week or the week before. You and I talked about how the margin requirements went up for gold and silver. And we talked about that we thought that was the case. And they were actually up twice in a week, forcing a lot of people to sell because they didn't have the margin requirement. Because they put down a small amount of money at the time when, let's say, silver was less costly. And as silver goes up dramatically, when they increase the margin requirement, all of a sudden you don't have enough money to back it because every future has to be backed by either, let's say, a government bond or there's backing requirements. So in your account, you have to have cash. For most people, it's cash. So you have this cash position. Let's say the margin was 2,000, okay? And now all of a sudden you have 2,000 in your account and silver grows and you're doing just fine. All of a sudden they increase it to 4,000. What do? You have two choices.
You sell $2,000 worth of silver.
Or you put $2,000 in your account.
One of the two.
Yeah. So somewhere in between all of that, it happens. And it created a forced sell for gold and silver. An artificial false sell. So therefore, once that all rectified, people can go back to their buying again. I think silver, if I'm not mistaken, moved up dramatically. Let's see here. Let me see. It was down. That one day it went to 83, and that's when it reversed. You remember that?
Yeah. That's when
It's about 81 right now. 81.
81. It was 78 yesterday.
I think it went as high as... It's at... Right now, it is just off an all-time high. It had an intraday high of, I think, of $83.16. And then it reversed down. That was a Friday. I believe it was a Friday.
So that should shoot past that.
Yep. It seems to be going. People are excited. Gold's at just under $4,500. So that's pretty impressive. Now, one of the reasons is that the U.S. dollar continues to devalue, debase. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But with the combination of the quantitative easing, the combination of the, I don't want to call it easy monetary policy, but the Fed looking like they're going to continue on a road over time, at least, and things change dramatically of reducing rates, and the next Federal Reserve chair, whoever that may be, is coming into play, that they're talking about that person will be very dovish. But I'll tell you one thing, even if they're not, they're not going to be raising rates.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah, that would deface some wrath.
So the basket is
we can put money in. We can go to those prop bets and make that bet.
Yeah, that's an easy one. But here's the deal. One of the big reasons is the dollar. The basket. When we look at the basket of the dollar against all the major currencies at an 8-year low.
Yeah, that's good for exports.
It's very good for exports.
If we had any.
Yeah. Interestingly, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, that's kind of like old school economics. Let's bring down the dollar so we could really export things. What are we exporting? Okay, well, we could export a lot of alcohol to Canada. Well, no.
They stopped taking it. We still make jets.
Yes, that's correct.
High ticket item.
It's one of the highest ticket items. Most people can't afford a jet or a piece of a jet or a seat of a jet. Anything. Yep. But the yen is at key intervention levels again, which is really interesting because the yields on their JGBs, the Japanese government bonds, are at 20 and 30 year highs. 30 year highs.
What is the yield?
On the JGB is like, I think the 30 years at 2.5. I'll be looking this up on my system. Here we go.
30-year high. That's pathetically low.
Let's see. Well, yeah, it is. Key stats. Let's see. The 10-year is at 212. The 10-year is at 212. Yeah, 212. Let's see if they have the 30-year. 10-year. Oh, the 10-year. Here, this is. But here's a chart that I'm looking at right now, I think. Yeah. Let me just look at the date here. Yeah. They went from zero in 2019 to negative, but 2020, and they've just shot straight up. The 30 years at 3.5, which is not too far off from ours. I mean, you talk about a bloodbath here. Remember when yields came up dramatically and then it put a lot of banks under stress?
Yeah.
That's got to be happening there.
I would think so.
But nobody's talking about it. I haven't heard a peep. I'm not saying it's happening.
I haven't heard anything either, not to mention it.
I am not saying that it's happening. I'm just saying that how could it not be happening? You should see this chart. It's parabolic. It's like vertical over the last 2 years. It went from 1% in 1.4% at the mid of 2024. So a year later, you're at like 3.4.
Yeah, that's more than doubled.
That's unbelievable.
That means the bond price has to go and fall into, it's discounted by 50% minimum.
Right, it's huge, huge numbers. And all the people that piled in over the years, because the play was always the same thing. Remember the Widowmaker trade? The Widowmaker trade was the yen, you know, going long the yen. That was like crazy.
Right, that was a mistake.
Right. So, but it's not backing off. You got a problem with the yen and you got an issue with it. I don't know. It's a really funky. Meanwhile, their stock market just keeps on going higher. So it's a really weird situation. Just goes to prove that nobody really cares about the intermarket relationships anymore, or at least not here. So and what happened to the old phrase, the old, you know, the strong dollar is a best in the best interest of the United States of America? What happened to that? Wasn't that what the Treasury guy would always have in young people don't know what I'm talking about here, index card? Remember you used to do, did you ever do speeches on index cards?
Probably.
They don't know what that is anymore.
Well, they still sell them.
An index card is pretty much the size of an iPhone now that I think about it.
Yeah, people would rather hold their iPhone up. And there's nothing worse than watching somebody read text from a phone.
I have been more.
I would love to have just a jammer in the room.
Oh, that'd be great.
Wouldn't that be funny? Just knocked their phone right off the line.
I find the most obnoxious thing. I literally don't care if somebody has like a paper, like an 8.5 by 11 paper that they're reading from.
But I'm at weddings and the best men and stuff, they're giving speeches from their iPhone. I find it distasteful.
Yeah, it is.
Again, I don't mind if they had a piece of paper somehow. It seems more, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It just, yeah, something about it. Anyway, let's talk about what happened yesterday now. For no apparent reason, I don't know, maybe the Venezuelan news of Maduro getting swept out of bed, his wife seemingly beaten up. I don't know what happened there. Did you see she has some bruises?
Yeah, she seemed bruised, but no one's explained that.
And he was limping pretty well. He could, I don't know if you noticed it, but he was off the helicopter in New York onto a truck. He couldn't like step up into it and get in there.
Yeah, I noticed.
That was weird. So maybe they took a little baton to the kneecap, you know?
Yeah, could have stumbled.
Yeah, markets jump, oil and defense stocks move, Dow Jones up 600 points. Here's the interesting thing. I'm going to read some names to you. Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, JP Morgan, Chevron, and Visa. Those five stocks made up 500 points of the 600. That's
Caterpillar.
Caterpillar's been on fire because why? One, gold and silver prices are up. Two,
what they got to do? Oh, because
how do you dig out? Dig out gold and silver? You need trucks. Backhoes and shovels and cranes and bulldozers. Then you got same thing with all the metals. You get from the same place, right? It's or different mines, but you're using Caterpillar trucks. And then you got Venezuela, right? You got, we're rebuilding. Well, let's go crazy. I mean, Caterpillar has, let's see where it is now. Caterpillar stocks at $623 a share. Year to date this year already, it's up 8% this year to date.
2 days.
It's up 71% over the last year.
That's nice.
P.E. ratio of 31, which is high for where it is. Market cap, $291 billion. Pays about a 1% dividend. 52-week low, $267. My, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Think about that. Caterpillar. They make trucks.
Well, they make earth-moving equipment, to be specific.
And they do services. Let's also be honest about that. The big money's really in the services. Fixing the big earth-moving equipment. Goldman Sachs was half of the Dow Jones gains for 2026 so far. Goldman Sachs. Every 1 point move on a Dow Jones Industrial stock is 7 points for the Dow Jones Industrial Index. So that's something to think about.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
A little too volatile for my taste.
Yep. Let's take a quick break. Let's talk about Interactive Brokers because I want to ask you a question. Where could quantum computing take your portfolio? Quantum computing. It's a big thing. Investment themes from Interactive Brokers helps you find out. Start with a trend like quantum computing or clean energy and instantly see which companies are most connected based on revenue, strategic focus, and product relevance. You can explore competitors, global exposure, and business relationships across more than 500 themes. Built with AI-powered insights from Reflexivity, Investment Themes turns complexity into clarity and helps you move from trend to trade with speed. Available now across IBKR Desktop, Mobile, and Traders Workstation. Listen, the best informed investors choose Interactive Brokers, member SIPC. Check it out at IBKR.com/themes. That's a really cool add-on they have there, by the way. You know, you can see a big picture. Sometimes, you know how this is, right? Sometimes something's right in front of you and can't see it.
Yeah, like silver.
Exactly. So this kind of helps you get there. All right, let's talk about Elon Musk and Grok. I've been using Grok quite a bit lately. Find it pretty interesting in what it does. You can get some, you know, interesting differentials between the various AI modules.
Yeah, but I like Grok the most.
Yeah, Grok I'm starting to warm up to. I mean, I find some of the stuff I need to... I'm still not ready to get rid of my training wheels in that I need to check the facts. I will tell you something. I did this on Grok. I think it was today. I asked for some information... And I said, can you please fact check that? And it went out and it did a whole fact check segment across many different areas on the web. And it came back with the response of, you know, what was right on and what could be questionable on itself.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's not lying, but yeah. Anyway. Grok is seemingly generating sexualized images of women and minors. User taking pictures and of others and telling Grok, hey, remove their clothes or, I don't know, put them in a thong.
A big trend.
Yeah, it's a big thing that, you know.
The bikini trend.
Yeah, the bikini trend is so weird. So a review of public requests sent to Grok over a single 10-minute period at midday last Friday tallied 102 attempts by ex-users to use Grok to digitally edit photographs of people so they would appear to be wearing bikinis. Politicians in France they're outraged. Outraged, I tell you. They're asking prosecutors to investigate. India demands answers.
Demand answers.
I demand.
You could have always done this yourself with Photoshop. It wasn't, just took a little more work.
Right. Or in the old days, what you do is you cut the picture out and stick it on somebody else's picture.
Yeah, that's the classic way. Use a knife. It was an X-Acto knife, which is of a specific brand. They cut the head off somebody and put it on somebody else.
X-Acto knife. It's so funny. I got a whole bunch of those somewhere right around here. I used to do that. I used to do a lot of photography, so you used to use that for different things, especially in the with the negatives. Remember that? You cut the negatives and you kind of superimpose on each.
I never cut negatives up.
You didn't. You can put negative on negatives and superimpose cool things. And you'd use an X-Acto knife for that. Anyway, politicians in France are asking prosecutors to investigate. Like we said that. And the big thing is they have long warned that Grok owner XAI about potential misuse of AI-generated content. Of course, Elon Musk is like, ha, 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 ha. You know, we'll see what happens. It's fake news, fake news. Everything's fake news. Just like his $20 billion... capital raise for XAI today, by the way, last week when they said that the reports came out that Elon Musk was raising money, $15 billion, it was fake news. And by the way, clearly it was because he was raising $20
billion. Yeah, get the number right.
You could just say fake news to anything these days. And then just, you know, that's that, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Ministers in France reported X to prosecutors and regulators over the disturbing images, saying in a statement of Friday that sexual and sexist content were manifestly illegal.
How's that work?
I don't know. I guess guardrails, though, are not extremely tight on XAI, let's say. I tried to do something today. I tried to make an image with a Cupid on it. And a chat GPT came back and says, I'm sorry. Our guardrails will not allow us to do that.
What, Cupid?
Not kidding. Twice I charged. So I said, okay, make a nice Cupid then. That's what I said, make a nice Cupid. Nope. Sorry, can't do it.
Cupid must be on a block list for some reason.
Yep.
Because they hate romance.
Yeah. Main people. Now, continuing on with Elon Tesla, awful sales. We saw that. Stock is holding up for a few days. Now, BYD comes out, outsold Tesla in Europe's two largest electric vehicle markets last year as Chinese BYD.
Yeah, they're not even in this market. I can't imagine what the damage will be if BYD ever gets allowed to come into the U.S.
It's like 100% tariff on BYD vehicles. I think you could possibly get it. And there's no, like, you don't have to worry about, remember the old days? Well, no, that car can't come in because it's not qualified for emissions. That's not the same thing.
Not going to happen with electric.
Not happening. Yeah.
Have you seen the BYD car that has a little drone in it?
A drone inside the car? Why is there a drone in
it's
the
on
car?
The roof. It's in a box on the roof, and they, so you get in a traffic jam, you push a button.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, a little thing, a little compartment opens up on the roof. A drone flies out and gives you a bird's eye view of what's going on, so you know if you can maybe get off the freeway or whatever.
Hmm.
Then it goes back and lands in the little box. The box closes up, and you're on your way.
Maybe that could be used
to
like
kind of screwball stuff BYD does.
Yeah, it would be great. You send that. You send that up. You're in the car. You're in a traffic jam. Better yet, you got to get off the next exit, get to McDonald's, and bring the bag to you. Got to sit in the traffic. What the hell? Give me a cup of coffee. I can't take it anymore. Got an hour's worth of traffic for this damn jackknife truck coming up on the right. So that's cool stuff, though. That's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, well, it's at least a prototype. I doubt that it's in production, but I've seen videos. A
couple of days ago, Tesla was down pretty hard. Popped back yesterday. Today, the news came out. NVIDIA announced it's expanding its autonomous driving sector. The big thing that's going on with Tesla, it is not their car sales, because to be honest with you, if their stock was representative of the car sales, something is really, really, really wrong.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, it's this whole idea that they're going to have the autonomous driving. Everybody has there's a huge carrot in front of everybody right there saying, you know, this is going to be the thing. And everybody's betting on that and hoping, and the stock is just running on those fumes. That's what's going on.
It's kind of amazing to me, since Waymo has been in business and floating around doing these autonomous taxis all over the San Francisco Bay Area, Los Angeles, and now it's going to be the East Bay up to Sacramento and most of California, and I guess they're testing it back east. They're so far ahead of everybody else. It's like, I don't know how Tesla's going to catch up. I don't know how anyone's going to catch up.
Unless the power goes out, of course.
Well, I'm sure that's the thing. That happened, and now that's going to get resolved. That'll get fixed.
Listen, these things, truth be told, these things are going to happen. Things happen.
Well, they're happening.
Yeah. And you can't, there are so many either natural, contingencies that will occur, right? You know, things will happen. Like, for example,
yeah, and the longer you've been in business doing it, like the Waymo, it's been over a year now, or I don't know, maybe two. It's been around in San Francisco for a while. The more you've been in business, the more you get to catch these things and then correct for them. Then the competition won't be able to.
Yeah,
it's just it's going to be a real problem for these guys to catch up.
Yeah, I would agree. Bitcoin starting the year off right, up 7% in 2026 after a very poor 2025. It wasn't a winter, but it was just not a good harvest, because they like to use those natural terms when it comes to Bitcoin. It makes everybody feel better. We're going through winter, but what comes after winter? Well, spring and then summer. Crypto is moving as well. Things are going on. Maybe this is a safe haven trade. There's some talk about Venezuela is heavy in the Bitcoin, and possibly that's going to open the opportunity up for, I don't know what. There's this whole talk going on. It's ridiculous. But let's talk about that for 1 second, because there's a lot of interesting things that are going on. Let's talk about Venezuela, because I think it really, when we talk about investments, you know, you talk about the defense stocks, I'm still 100% liking, considering all the things that are going on. The second thing is the oil and gas, the refiners, the drillers, the companies that are involved in this, Chevron being the one that has the most exposure to Venezuela currently. I don't think people know just how much oil Venezuela holds. Do you know the numbers?
People know it holds a lot.
A lot is an understatement. I didn't really know the extent of it till I knew it was a lot. I didn't really
know.
25%
of the whole world.
The whole world, 18 to 20% of the global reserves.
Yeah.
303 billion barrels is the estimate at the end of 2024.
Yeah, we only have like 40.
And if I was a bad dictator, if I was, and I had that much oil, I would build up the oil and just skim right off the top.
Yeah, well, that's what they were doing until Hugo Chavez came into being, and he didn't like, you know, what was going on. He didn't like the people. I don't know what he didn't like, but he ended up, I mean, they started nationalizing, and then they started getting rid of the engineers. He got thrown in jail. The petroleum engineers are rare. It's not like your next door neighbor's not one. And so people that can run oil refineries is a minor number of people, and people that can do those rigs that can pump that thick oil that Venezuela has is Brent. Those guys aren't normal. They're not normal people. And you get rid of them, and then the whole thing falls apart, and you can't pump enough to do anything. You can't refine it, keep it going. It was just a disaster based on the government.
Yeah, the whole thing is baffling. And the idea, though, that Venezuela is also going to be all happy-pappy with the United States, and we're going to be able to come in there and just drill and do what we want to do, with the fact that the allies are really Russia and China. And if you remember, I remember this because I'm talking from the investment standpoint. Where's the angle here? You know, if you remember Cuba was opened up, and it was all exciting that they were going to get this infrastructure built and the tourism would happen, and you'd see this great country of Cuba finally come back to its greatness. Remember that whole thing back of, I don't know, a decade ago?
Obama.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
And what happened? Well, I went down there during that period, by the way.
Yeah, you did. I wanted to, and I never managed it.
It was great. It was lovely. Total shithole, by the way. Everybody, even Cubans, know it's a total shithole. The buildings were either half erected or half knocked down. There was nothing fully up. You know, it was like it's either being started or it was being knocked down. And in the end, Cuba, much different circumstance. I get that. They don't have the reserves. They don't have the natural resources. I get that. But the idea that we go in there and there's going to be a huge opportunity for American companies to build out their telecom infrastructure, their roads, the electrical infrastructure, the whole bit, right? The plumbing, the housing, the whole country was going to be this amazing build out. And I had friends that are, let's say in my business that were pumping the crap out of these Cuban investments. I'm like, what are you doing? I said, look at the numbers. They don't work. It's a little island of however many million people, but the numbers don't work. You know, even if you have this, why do you think this is going to be the best telecom deal ever? It's this little bitty speck. And in the end, we came in, we opened it up, and yes, it was closed down after the fact, but it just was a disaster from the beginning. And I don't think there's anything really different with Venezuela. Especially because we put...
It's a lot bigger.
Well, it's a lot bigger. There's oil reserves. There's a lot of that going on. But I'm not necessarily convinced that we're going to get full access. Even President Trump talked about that today, saying, you know what? It would take a very long time to get, you know, our companies in there operating. If they ever did.
Yeah, I know a lot of people think it's going to take 5 to 10 years. That's a long time.
It's a long time. Look, there may be an opportunity... But
Chevron's got that's where Chevron's stock skyrocketed. Yeah. They still had a foothold. So, you know, Chevron still has people there.
Right.
And they, you know, did some sort of, I don't know, sideways deal to stay kind of hooked into the Venezuelan operations. So they're established. They can move faster. But the other companies are going to have to come in, from, you know, basically getting kicked out completely.
If they're allowed.
From scratch.
If they're allowed. If this whole thing goes down with, United States, you can do whatever you want now.
But I don't think that's going to happen. But I think this was schemed out in advance. There's something.
Of course.
It wasn't like, you know, we didn't ad lib the whole thing.
Right. That was a pretty good operation, though. Well executed. What are the odds, Greenland? You may be asking, what are the odds? Are we gonna take over? Are we gonna buy? What are we gonna do? Well, you can go guess. You guess right to the prediction markets. There's actually a bet for that.
Oh yeah, what is the bet?
I put a link. Let me copy the link. It's on Interactive Brokers has it. Let's see. It is now 29% probability that by December 31st, 2028, a yes bet will cost you 28 cents.
to make a dollar?
Yes.
That's an interesting bet.
Well, this says, will any portion of Greenland become a U.S. state, territory, or other federal jurisdiction by December 31st, 2028?
I'd take that bet.
Yep, there you go. There's also, you can look at, let's see, sovereignty transfer of Canada. That's at 7%.
That would be that's a tougher one.
Alberta?
But, you know, Alberta does have it. They are going to do a vote in October to split off from Canada.
Yeah.
I don't think that would make them part of us by any means, but they do have they're getting sick of the fact that they're sitting on more oil than we have in this country, and we have a lot. They have a lot, but they don't do anything with it. They just sit on it because, you know, it's not environmentally friendly.
Well, it's also, Canada's a problem because the Venezuelan oil is kind of the equivalent of the dirty, sour, heavy oil like they have in the Canadian sands. It has to be cleaned and, you know, gone through to get it to...
Yeah, but once you set up the shop to do that, it's not, you know, once you set up a refiner that can handle dirty, sour crude with the various catalytic cracking towers that you need, it's not just something you can distill. But once you crack them, it's just, you get a lot out of them. I mean, it's a lot of material there because they weigh so much.
Right. But it's so expensive. Once you get it set up, it's still more expensive to refine than light sweet crude.
Yes. Yeah. Always. Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff you can get out of it.
Yep. 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 So.
No, it's a dirty, thick, gooey oil.
Yeah. Let's see what else
has other. They have a variety of product up there. They have more than shale oil and tar.
Yeah. But the stocks of those companies went down pretty well after the Maduro heist.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's always reactions, and that's the intermarket play that can or cannot be respected. Sometimes, you know, bonds down, stocks up. You know, dollar down, gold up.
That would make sense that the Canadian stocks would go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Greenland, for its credit, has said –